Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is your girl DJ Carmi, and you are tuned in to KPTR, The Truth Behind the Music. And today we have with us the son of the legendary David Ruffin. We have David Ruffin Jr., and he is a singer, songwriter, actor, and musician. And David, first of all, I want to say just thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you for having me. It is definitely a pleasure. I'm glad that we were able to get this in today. I was excited to do it, and I'm wondering if you're prepared to learn some things about DRJ.
Absolutely, and you definitely are going to do that. But the first thing that we want to do is give the people a little history about you, because a lot of people really don't know about you as David Ruffin's son. So we're just going to enlighten them today. So let's start back from the beginning, and when you were young and growing up. And now, although you did have your dad as a musical inspiration, when did you truly fall in love with it to want to do it yourself?
Well, as a young man, I wasn't interested in music. I think that my initial interest outside of just playing, going to school, was sports. I was a sports kid. I played football, ran track, I did a little basketball, a little baseball, a little bit of all of it. I would say what turned me on to music was a couple of my friends from middle school got into house music, and after that, a couple of them, you know, tried to be a DJ, and in hanging out with these cats, it became kind of infectious, and I wanted to spin as well. So my first experience in music was actually DJing.
Wow.
And
now that's interesting.
That went from DJing to actually dancing. I was on a local show in Detroit called The Scene for some years, as was a couple of my sisters. I was never much of a dancer. I was actually kind of too left feet. And pretty much to my sisters, I kind of figured it out or was taught, you know, how to, have a right and a left foot. After the DJing and then the dancing, I would have to say, LL Cool J, Kumo D, Furious Five. I started to get Sugar Hill Gang. I started kind of getting into that. Dougie Fresh, Big Daddy Kane, started getting into that, and it's funny because all along, I found out recently, because I've been blessed enough to make an acquaintance with Big Daddy Kane himself, that he's been a David Ruffin fan his whole life, and I've been a fan of Big Daddy Kane. My father was not a big hip-hop fan. He didn't like rap music. So when I made my transition from like the sports and wanting to get in back into the music from the DJing, I started rapping. I was a rapper first.
Okay.
And then, my pops was like, you get finished doing that trendy stuff because it ain't going to be around long. I'm ready for you. We can do some.
Oh, yeah.
We can do some songs. Little did he know. Not only did it stick around, it's taking over.
Exactly.
But yeah, that's basically how I got into music in general. It was a long process, a lot of hit and miss, but there's the whole story behind that.
Gotcha. Now, you did mention sisters. How many siblings do you have?
I have four sisters.
Four sisters?
I'm the only young man of the family.
Oh, wow. Now that means that you were probably spoiled.
No, I was not spoiled. Not at all. Not at all. They tormented me.
They did.
I was their muse.
That is so sad. I am so sorry about that. Well, tell me this. What memory of your father that you have that stands out the most? What is it that you will always remember about
him? My father's confidence.
Mm-hmm.
His confidence.
Okay.
His attire. I remember thinking my father always dressed funky. I was like, wow, he dressed as funky.
mm-hmm.
You know, there's all sorts of things that stick out to me about my dad. Not unlike most people, is the voice and the face, but for me, mm-hmm. it's so much more.
I can imagine. How old were you when he passed away?
24.
So you were grown. Oh, okay. So, yeah, so that means you have a lifetime, whole lifetime of memories with him. I know for me that I was, you know, a big fan, although I came along later in years, I was a huge fan of his once I, you know, found out about the Temptations, because his voice was just off the chain for me. So I could not imagine what was going on, you know, growing up with the talent, you know, around you.
Yeah.
I know you say you were DJing. Now, were you doing that on a professional basis as far as getting paid for it?
Actually, yes. Actually, I did get paid to DJ a few times. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I wasn't great. You know, I was understudy to some different mm-hmm. cats in Detroit. I mean, you know, I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I wanted to. What had happened was the guy who I was actually DJing with on a regular basis, his equipment got stolen.
Oh, man.
And so kind of stopped DJing. Eventually, I got some equipment, but mm-hmm. I was really, at that point, I had already kind of transitioned into trying to rap, so I kind of didn't get really back into it. But, you know, it's kind of like riding a bike, you know, really. I mean, I could pick up some turntables.
Just hop right back on it.
Right, I really could.
Gotcha. So where was your first paid gig? Do you remember what event or what? Didn't you?
First paid gig. That's a good question. first paid gig singing? Is that what you're referring to?
Where did you perform first, or where did you spin first that in the place that actually paid you to spin?
A place called the Prima Donna. It was a nightclub called the Prima Donna in Detroit, downtown Detroit.
So you grew up in Detroit?
I remember. Oh, born and raised. Motown baby
born
for real.
All right.
For real, for real.
All right. So now let's talk about when you were making your transition into actually singing. When did that start for you?
Okay, so I was in a group of rappers, and mm-hmm. we were putting a group together, and this group was called The Fifth Chapter.
Okay.
And there was a DJ, and there were three rappers, and one singer, and it wasn't me yet, but that's what happened.
Uh-huh.
Oh, we were rapping, putting a song together, And or should I say, I was trying to put a song together for with and for these other guys that were rappers in the group, and they were basically telling me that you should not rap that. Something's wrong with your cadence. You should not rap that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you should sing that. And I'm like, what? I mean, why? Would I do that? I'm not interested. And they're like, well, because that's, you know, what you do. And that's kind of like, that's what you come from. Maybe you should try that. And my father had already told me, yeah, you know, I hear you with that rap stuff and when you're done, blah, blah, blah. But I wasn't hearing him. But then when my friends were like, yeah, your dad's kind of right. And I was like, oh, okay. So what happened was, I started just stretching out my raps and making the pronunciation of the words longer, which was giving me, you know, a place to, a way to transpose or reassociate, redirect what I wanted and not get rid of it, but just deliver it a different way. And so that's what I did. I just delivered it a different way. And I would have to thank my father and the cats of Fifth Chapter, which was David Mays and David Dozier and Barry Smith and my dad. And all of those entities and energies together were the reason why I actually started singing. And it wasn't super hard. It wasn't super hard. At first it was, but I eventually figured it out. And the rest is kind of history. Even to this day, if I feel like, because I enjoy rapping, I've rapped even with I've rapped with some greats. And they've been like, yeah, you know, you're good at that. Well, that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. Because it just, you know, it just reconfirms that I don't suck. But my music thing is what my singing thing is what I know everybody kind of anticipated me doing the most, and including my dad, and of course being my father's only son, I wanted to do that as well. I wanted to make him happy and proud, and you know, continue the legacy that he started. So.
Awesome. And also it says here you were a musician. So what instruments do you play?
I play I bash and crash some keys here and there, but the instrument that I play the most is the mic and the pen and the paper. I was a writer. I was a writer before I wanted to be a rapper. I was good at poems. And that's where the rapping came in. So, I mean, it was actually, again, kind of an easy transformation. It wasn't as difficult as it seemed at first. It was more natural than I knew, you know.
Right. So, growing up with your dad, do you remember, which I know you can, did you meet any of the Temptations? Did you meet any, like, Paul and Eddie?
Did I meet the Temptations? Oh, my goodness. Do you realize that? You realize before, like today, everybody is calling somebody their uncle or their aunt or their niece and nephew. I was, those were my uncles. Those were my uncles. I mean, like I was born and they knew who I was from that day. You know, the day I was born. You know, it's like the Temptations, I know them all. I called most of them family, like for real, for real.
So which one of them were you the closest to, or is there one over the other?
I would have to say Eddie.
Eddie? What was it like? How was he?
Eddie was for me he was different than he was. You know what he was for me was different for other people, and for me what he was. You know, my father was kind of not excitable, but my father was kind of like he was just a big energy, and Eddie was kind of by default the opposite. So they kind of balanced each other out. And when, you know, there were situations where I had to deal with, I was doing something, or I needed to be told about something, or I needed to be checked on something or taught something.
Mm-hmm.
There were times where not only that Eddie was the only one there in that particular moment, but there were times when my father would say something a particular way, and Eddie would come back to me and say, listen, you know, what that means is this.
See, that's what's up. I
really appreciate that. You know, I didn't know what – I kind of knew emotionally how that affected me, but later I understood the part of it takes a village. You know, that's what that was. And Eddie, you know, he was that kind of guy. You know, he was that kind of person. He was also no nonsense. And the way Eddie describes his displeasure or discontent was different than the way that my father did and always had been. And I respected and or feared both, but it was a balance that I needed. So I guess that's why he would have been my favorite. But Melvin was also a favorite. He was like the teddy bear of the Temptations.
He
was a lot like his mom. And his mom, you know, was like, I can address any situation, and I can show any situation love. You know, that's kind of where he got that from, I would think. I can't say that I knew his dad, but I knew his mom. And,
gotcha.
Yeah.
I appreciate.
I knew Paul, and Paul was my godfather. So I mean, he was very kind and very sweet to me. You know, the Temptations that came after the fact, even. I can't really say that any of them were anything but kind to me, the ones that I met or got to know.
Oh, okay. Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, I knew all the Temptations. I knew Otis, too. I knew them all. And, you know, I don't personally have a whole lot of bad memories about any of them as a kid. You know, I have had my adult issues with a few of them, but as a child, they treated me as they should have, I would think. You know, they spoiled me here and there.
You know, that's great. And I know a lot of people that are tuned in or that will listen to this do not know any of this, so it's going to enlighten a lot of the Temptations fans, as well as your own. We are already up on halftime. See, I enjoy, you know, listening to you, you know, tell your story and tell, you know, say a little information about the Temptations, and time just flew by. So we're now up on halftime, and what we're going to do now is play this track by David Ruffin Jr., and it's called Running Out of Time. And if you all are listening right now, make sure you cop this song. David, is it already on iTunes and Spotify and all of that good stuff?
Yep.
Go out and pick it up, and here it goes. David Ruffin Jr., Running Out of Time.
Running,
yeah. All right, I'm up.
Time
to wake up.
You're running out of time.
Running,
you're running out of time.
Too much
running,
patrolling.
Running, you're running out of time.
In the wake with breath, and I am blessed to see the dawning. From there it's up to you. So what you wanna do? I know it's tight, it's storming. this won't feel so foreign. From there it's up to you, so what you wanna do? You're running out of time. Come back to you, then you would stop treating the people that you love like you're so far above. You should stop believing that you and me and he and she are anything but even. What I'm trying to do is get across to you. You're running out of time. Your blessings before you start to dreaming. It's really up to you, just what your dreams can do, as long as you believe it. And you grind and grind and grind and grind until you see it. People, what you wanna do?
Again, that was Running Out of Time by David Ruffin Jr. You have an incredible voice, David.
Ha!
You really do.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. I got to give credit where credit is due.
That's very kind.
That's totally awesome. I have a couple more questions before we get to your, you know, what you're doing now. Have you ever thought about writing a book?
You know, I've actually tried to write a book twice. The first time I tried to write a book was back in, I want to say, 95.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. What I did was is I wrote a bunch of, I drafted a bunch of folders and named a bunch of folders about, well, this was my terrible effort of writing a book. I drafted a bunch of folders and titled them Manila Envelopes Folders. And I titled them, and I had about 50. And by the time I was done. And I, on two of them, like when I was done making the folders, I went back to the beginning and tried to, like, okay, let me write something in this for this folder, and I only got to two before it became overwhelming and or life happened and I didn't do it. The second time I tried to write a book was 2005, and I was doing pretty well, and then my computer got stolen.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm good. I can't do that again. This year, though, I started again.
Okay, good.
So,
yeah.
I am going to write a book. I mean, my life, you know, I like to consider myself just, you know, a regular person, and I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know, although others see me in a different light, I'm really just like Tom, Dick, and Harry. I'm like the next door neighbor, blah, 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 blah. I'm part of the village. I'm in the community. I'm involved. I want to be a part of it and continue to strive to be. But, you know, long story short, it's not easy, especially when your father is of the caliber that he is, to do right in other people's eyes and or have done wrong in other people's eyes. I mean, like, I've been in some situations in my life that are amazing, totally incredible. Like, I've got to share. Like, you wouldn't believe this happened, and you wouldn't believe that happened. And there's so many of them that, you know, I can, you know, it can get lost in the archives.
Yeah.
So
I can understand.
One of my ideas for my book is going to be that at some point I'm going to reach out to people that I know that I've had life experiences with, and I'm going to dedicate a small chapter of this book to other people's stories in regards to me and or me and my father and or me and my mother and or me and my kids.
Right.
So that some of the stories that I may tell won't supersede the stories that are even more common for someone. Because, for instance, like one of my father's friends who was a dry cleaner's owner, who didn't like the fanfare, who didn't like to be out in the hoopla and the red carpet events, but loved to go sit and chit chat and maybe have a cigar and, you know, had some stories, but never has an opportunity or a platform to do so. I want to kind of do something like that. And I know some people that know both my father and I that could tell some stories like that and have told me some stories like that where I wasn't able to document it. So I want to do that as well for my book. At some point, it should be a mofo. It should be like a really interesting read by the time it's finished.
Well, that's great. I know I look forward to you finishing that book. I would love to have a copy. And real quick, before we end the interview, can you tell them what you're doing now and how to, we already know how to get, you know, your new track. So just let them know what you're doing now and maybe give them some contact information for booking.
Well, I'm doing a few things. I was putting the brakes on a production that I was doing called Real Bloodlines, which basically is offspring of famous people who may be doing great and may not be doing great, to have basically just to delve into a bit of their lives to see what it's like to be them and or carry that torch that they're carrying. That was a television show. And it hasn't completely gone away. It might actually resurface really soon. But more currently, I'm working on Sons of Motown. Sons of Motown is a brand that will consist of different types of media. Long story short, Real Bloodlines is five male offspring of Temptations.
Oh, man, that's going to be awesome.
So there's David Ruffin, there's Paul Williams, there's Melvin Franklin, there's Richard Street, there's Glenn Leonard, there's Dennis Edwards, there's a lot of Temptations who have male offspring, some of which are not into music. Some Temptations have female offspring. For instance, Ika, which is Eddie's daughter. He has two sons as well, but she's more into the industry or more associated with the industry than her brothers. But Sons of Motown is going to consist of a tribute show, possibly branding, merchandising, as well as a docuseries or just a television production in general.
Great.
I will not really expose the name of it for fear of I wouldn't want anybody to try to jump on our bandwagon or snatch up the ideas as we're in the infant stage. But we are extending the Sons of Motown brand and going to be – we're actually working already on a treatment for it, as well as having some interested investors waiting on such plan. That way we can bring the people what they want very consistently as opposed to inconsistently and a portion here and a portion here like we have been doing. On Facebook, we have Sons of Motown, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're everywhere. And the momentum that we had last year did not, unfortunately, it didn't carry off into this year for various reasons. One of the reasons being one of our members had a stroke, unfortunately, and that brought us back down. Thank you. Mm-hmm. That brought us down to four members. And that left us a bit scrambling trying to find a way to do this production with the same quality that our fathers would have with four members. That really wasn't super working out, so we were looking for a fifth member that wasn't necessarily an offspring because of the presentation that we wanted to bring. But God works in mysterious ways and does things in his own timing, which are always divine. Dennis's son, unfortunately, lost his father this year. But because of that, he was connected and we were connected to him as he was connected to us. And now we're bringing him on board. He sings. He knows his father's catalog. He knows the Temptations catalog. And we're just making sure this time that when we come together, we're not coming half-assed, so to speak, that we're actually able to do the things that we need to do. A lot of the things that we've been trying to do have been coming out of our pockets. And because all of us are the primary breadwinners in our families, that's been, you know, come and go and very limited. So until we get the budgets that we need, we're kind of just, you know, we're not being super social. We're kind of like pulling back a bit so that we don't mislead or make people too anxious when the time isn't right. What else I'm working on is releasing Rough and Risque. That's an album I've been working on for about five, six years. I put out singles, I put out an EP, I haven't put out an album, and it's time for that to happen. So that's what's going on with me. As of right now, the Motown and Rough and Risque, the LP, is what's next here in 2018 for me. I have a couple shows coming up this year, independently, And also working on booking some shows for the Something Motown this year as well.
All right. So you guys have quite a bit going on, and I look forward to your new projects. And real quick, tell them, you know, how to reach you for instance for booking. I give them an email, maybe some social media information.
You can potentially, I can't say when you'll get your response and or when we'll be able to book it, but if you're interested in booking the Sons of Motown, you can simply send an email to sonsofmotownbooking@gmail.com. And you can also find us socially on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Sons of Motown. To find me directly, you can also find David Ruffin Jr. Pretty much everywhere socially. If you want to send me an email about a show, you can send that to drj@mail.com or DM me in any of those social medias that you find me at, which will all be David Ruffin Jr. No spaces, capital letters. Yes.
All right, it
capital
sounds good. Uh-huh. It sounds good, so I'm sure everybody got that. And David, we want to thank you so much once again for coming on the show and sharing, you know, yourself with us. And we probably hope to hear from you again soon in the future and see, you know, where you are on your projects. And also for you artists that are tuned in or that's going to listen to this, make sure you guys go and register for Digital Radio Tracker. It is free to register so that you can get reports. Go ahead, David.
And yeah, for you artists that are doing that, I just want to also say, you know, today it's very hard to get, it's very hard to not only get pigeonholed, but to pigeonhole yourself. Feel free to be the artist that you are. Feel free to bring the energy that you've developed and that you've harnessed. Be yourself. The music demographic nowadays is hard to label. You don't have to be hip-hop. You don't have to be pop. You don't have to be R&B. You don't have to be anything. It's hard to label artists nowadays. So feel free to do your thing. Be true to yourself. And don't let anybody tell you you can't. That's all.
Very good advice. And thank you for sharing that information. And with that being said, thank you for being tuned in to KPTR, the truth behind the music. And we are out.